Morning. I do plan to share a Mother's Day message, but young men, don't clock out. I have something for you towards the end, so don't fall asleep. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. I've been blessed by being here this morning and devotions on loving our brothers and sharing with our brothers. Thank you, Valor, for that. I was blessed by the Sunday school class and the law and its place in our lives and what it does. Thank you, Elijah, for being willing to be used and to teach even though you are young. I know that feeling. I was also blessed by the song, Without Thee, Lord. What are we without Christ this morning? We're lost. We have no message. We have no song. We have no reason for being here this morning without Christ. Isn't that true? As of about 4 o'clock last night, I wasn't sure if we were going to have a Mother's Day message or not, but as was mentioned, I do plan to share this morning as some encouragement to your mothers, because you may be wondering, what is a 20-year-old, a man in his 20s, I'll say it that way, I'm not 20 anymore, in his 20s have to share as teaching to mothers. So I plan to share encouragement from God's Word this morning, and hopefully you can be encouraged. As I look back across the congregation, there's many moms here, and some of you have graduated past mom to grandmom, and that's a blessing as well. We're glad to have you here this morning, and thank you for your contribution here. My mother is not here this morning, but I do remember her this morning and thankful for what she has done for me, and we never outgrow that need for our mother's prayers and encouragement. Even though we don't rely on them for our daily care anymore, we still need them very much. I am thankful for my wife's mother. Glad to have her here this morning. And she has done a good job at stepping in where my mother left off. Thank you for that. I want to honor her this morning as well. If I were to ask you all to describe a car this morning, I'm sure many of you would tell me that it has 4 wheels, and it has seats that you can sit on, it has a motor, it has a steering wheel, and we use it for transportation. That's how we would describe a car. So if I were to ask you to describe your mother this morning, what would you say? How would you describe your mother as you think about her in your growing up years, or now as you are growing up? How do you think of your mother? How do you describe her? Just by simple definition, a mother is a female parent. She is the one who brought us into this world. And I look through the Bible, and I think there's only 3 people that ever walked on this earth that didn't have a mother. And that was Adam and Eve, obviously, and Melchizedek. It said he was neither born nor died. But he was on this earth. And there's different interpretations of who Melchizedek is, but point is, he was here, but he was not born. Everyone else, including Jesus Christ, had a mother. They were brought into this world. So this morning, I'd like to, for a title, I just have mothers. And I'd like to look at 5 different things that mothers are. You could open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. I'd like to read 2 verses there in the beginning. I'd like to read verse 26 through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle." And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So here we have creation. We know this story well. God created male and female, two and only two distinct genders, but both in the image of himself. And I'm sure we could look at different aspects of why God may have done this, but we think about the view of life we would have if we only, our view of God we would have if we only had a father. There's different aspects of God that are portrayed in our father, but also we have aspects of God that are portrayed in our mothers, and that's what we're going to look at a little bit closer here this morning. The first point I have under God are created, or sorry, mothers are created in the image of God. We often think of men being created in the image of God, but here we see from Genesis chapter 1 that God created females also in his image. If you're still in Genesis, you can turn over to chapter 3 and like to read verse 20. Here, Adam, it says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." So here we have a female that's created in God's image, and Adam calls her Eve because she is the mother of all living. Now, we know that Eve had children, but at this point, there were no babies on this earth. There was no, Eve had not had Cain yet. There was no babies on earth, but Adam, through the inspiration of God, called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. He made a prophecy here. So mothers give life, and that is in the image of God. God obviously gives life, but mothers bring that to us. Those of us who have experienced the miracle of birth marvel at this, that new life that we hold in our hands, that obviously comes from God, but it comes to us through our mothers. That is the way God set it up. Our society today would like to minimize this role of mothers, this God-given role. They'd like to take that and just turn it into a scientific formula or a scientific explanation where anyone who wants to be a mother can be a mother, no matter what gender you are. This was not God's plan. He created male and female, and he gave mothers distinct gifts and abilities that males simply do not have. We'll look at that a little bit more later. Mothers give life. And this life-giving is not just being able to physically give birth to a child, but mothers have life within them that pours out to other people. And that can come through, obviously, the giving birth to a child, but mothers give life to their children by producing meals, the endless meals, often three times a day, making that food for their children that gives life to them. The physical nourishment that they give to their children. Mothers also provide for their children spiritually, give them life spiritually. And that comes through her own connection with God. The Bible stories that are read to the children at nap time are not just stories. They are spiritual life that is being given to them, the awakened spiritual interest and understanding that can hardly be taught otherwise. That's what mothers do. Mothers give life. Partner with God to give life to their children. Give life to their husband, providing, again, meals and needs for the family. Second point under created in God's image, mothers love unconditionally. You don't understand this, at least I didn't, until my wife was a mother. And you see the love that a mother has for that child. Doesn't matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock, every hour, mother pours love into that child. And Think comparing it to the love that God has for us. We'll look at some scriptures later that bring that out. But a mother's love is a given. A mother has a love for her child that is stronger than her own desire to live sometimes. We read stories of how mothers risk their lives to save the life of their children. There's nothing that will stop them in their love for their child. They'll go to great measures to save that child from harm. It matters little what that child has done or how undeserving that child may be. A mother's love will remain. Even that child has given nothing back to that mother. The mother just pours that love into that baby. You think about a courtroom where a man is convicted of taking someone else's life. There's no question whether or not he did the act or not, the act of murder. He may even admit to doing it. But there sits his mother, waiting the verdict. There's no question whose side she's on. She's on her son's side. Doesn't matter what he's done. There's nothing that puts her son outside of her love. She's his son. She is her son, and he always will be. And she will always love him, no matter what he's done. This is how God loves us. In Isaiah 49, 14 through 16, verse 14 says, "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Verse 15, ask the question, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. A mother's love has no bounds. When a child is in need, it doesn't matter what time, a day, of night, that mother is there to pour into that child. And the mother gets this love from the God that we serve. Mothers are a comfort. It's closely related to love, but it's a little different. A mother has a way of comforting a child like no one else can. When a child is playing outside, gets hurt, skins his knee, comes running in for mom, mom can often fix it with a simple kiss, or if it's really bad, put a Band-Aid on it and pat it. In a few minutes, the child's back outside again, playing, forgetting about what has happened. Moms can comfort like dads just cannot. Think about my little boy. I try to lay him down in bed and just doesn't want to settle. And my wife will say, no, you have to lay him a certain way and put the blanket in just a certain way. And mothers know that, have that touch, that ability to, they are with that child all the time. They know what that child wants and they can give it to that child. And us dads just stand in awe of this gift that mothers have, the touch that they have to be able to comfort that child. Mothers have a gentle touch and soft words and sympathy that does so much for a wounded spirit. Isaiah 66, verse 13 says, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Mothers have this gift of comfort from God, who comforts us. Second point I have is mothers are a tremendous influence. Mothers are a tremendous influence. We've all heard the saying that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. It's very true. How much influence can a mother have on a child? A mother spends a lot of time with the child, from the time it's a baby, rocking it, caring for it, taking it to and from school, talking to the child, that relationship that a mother has. And these actions that a mother has are soon duplicated in the child. I was reminded of this again, just yesterday, when my wife and daughter came home from yard sailing and a new doll was purchased, the way that my daughter held that little baby and rocked it a certain way, and even the way she held her feet and hips to make that rock happen, is just like her mother. And it was not taught to her that this is how you do it, but she picked that up, that this is how you comfort a child, by observing the actions of her mother. And that's an influence that a mother has on her child. As I thought about, as I prepared for this message, I thought back to my mother and the influence that she's had on my life. And our mothers, even though we don't stop and think about it too often, they influence the way we think about things, down to simple things like how our socks should be folded and put in our drawer. Well, the way our mom did it is the right way. And the way our mom cooked rice, well, that's the way it should be cooked. And they influence us in ways that we don't even think. We could add on to that list. Mothers are very influential. We could look at stories in the Bible of kings who did right and kings who did wrong. And it references their mother. They walked in the ways of their mother or their father. And they did right or evil in the sight of the Lord. Mothers have tremendous influence. I'd like to read the story of Samuel from 1 Samuel chapter 1. Here was a mother who was a great influence on her son. Think about the life of Samuel, the things that he, the prophet that he was, and the mother that he had. Let's just read, it's a little bit long chapter, but let's go ahead and read all 28 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll just read through it quickly here. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zaphim of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eluhu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zeph, an Ephraite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And he did so year by year. And when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So that the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to the house, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth good to thee. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the man abode and gave her son suck, until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. So here's a story of a man had two wives. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. And this is a really difficult thing for Hannah to accept. God has given that desire to mothers to want to have children, and here Hannah had none. And this time children were seen as a proof of God's blessing to a woman. And if that wasn't burden enough that she didn't have children, this man's other wife poked fun at her and reminded her that children were given to those who were blessed by God, and made fun of her. And this made Hannah so distraught that she would weep and not eat. Every time they went up to worship God, she dealt with this. Her husband tried to comfort her, but she just would not be comforted. This particular year, Hannah poured out her soul to God. She wasn't crying because she wasn't getting her way, but she was crying out to God for the blessing of a child. That was the desire of her heart. She was specific in what she asked for. She asked God, she said, if you would give me a man child, I will give it back to him. She was specific in what she asked for. And she made a deal with God. She said, if you give me this son, I will give him back in service to you. She poured out her request to God. She was so earnest in her prayer that she forgot the world around her. It was her and God. And she was pouring out her heart, beseeching God for the desires of her heart in faith that he could give this to her. Eli thought she was drunk because her mouth was moving, but no words were coming out. She was communicating with God. Eli reprimanded her for being drunk, and she quickly cleared that matter up with him and said, no, Eli, it's not because I'm drunk. It's because I am desiring in my heart. I am hurting for this emptiness that I have. And Eli told her to go home and gave her a blessing there. And it says her countenance was no more sad. I believe she poured out her heart to God, and she left it there with him, and she had a happy countenance. She left her burden with the Lord. And we know the story that God did bless Hannah with a son. God kept his part of the deal, but now it was up to Hannah to keep her part. And mothers, imagine the thoughts going through Hannah's mind as she received this gift from God, and knowing that her part of the vow was to give this child back to God. And it says that he was young when she went to give him back to God. So she had a few short years to influence Samuel's life, just like mothers have a few short years to make an impact on their children. But Samuel here, when Hannah gave him back, took him to the temple to give him back in service to the Lord, he was likely under 8 years old. Just a few years she had to prepare him for things he would face in life. Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were evil men. I believe Israel knew that. I believe Hannah knew that when she was teaching her son the lessons that he would need in life. I'm sure she thought about the influence that he would be under, but she placed him into the care of God. Hannah laid out her request to God and moved forward in faith. She prepared Samuel for service to God. That's what she did in those years that she had him in her home. She prepared him for serving God. We can assume that she taught him to obey from the story here. Later on, we could look in later on in chapter 2 when God spoke to Samuel. He got out of bed and he went and ran for Eli's room. And Eli said, I didn't call you. And he went back and got in bed. Three times he did that. He got out of bed when the Lord spoke to him and went to Eli. And we know the story how Eli said, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth if God calls you again. But Samuel's mother, Hannah, taught him to obey in those years that she had him. Mothers influence how we perceive God. If you were to describe God here this morning, you would probably use some of the same words to describe him that you used in describing your mother, as you thought about that question in the beginning. You think about the love of God, God being a loving person. We use that word to describe our mothers as well. The work that mothers have is a huge task that God has given them, but he's also given them gifts, given you gifts for the work that he's given you to do. Turn to Exodus chapter 2. There's the story of Moses' mother. She also had a few short years to influence her son. Exodus chapter 2, I'd like to read the first 10 verses. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sisters stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." So here Moses' mother, the command was to throw all of the babies into the river, to destroy them, to keep Israel from becoming too strong of a nation. But here's where one of the gifts that mothers have, and I forgot to write it up. Mothers are wise, is the title I have to this point. Mothers are wise. They know how to put together a plan, and they know how to execute it. Moses' mother here put together a plan. She made this little basket. She thought outside the box of how she could save this child. She made this little basket, and I believe she put it at a place where she knew that Pharaoh's daughter were going to come down and wash. I don't believe that she just randomly plopped it in the river, but I think she put some strategy into this plan. And obviously God had a hand in this story in preserving Moses' life. But she put together a plan, and she had Moses' older sister stand there, so when someone came down that she could see what was going to happen to it. So this is a mother with some experience. Moses had an older sister. We have some experienced mothers here. When you have a couple children, they seem like the wisdom just accumulates, and we're blessed with that here. Moses' mother had the experience and the wisdom here to devise a plan to save her child, and obviously God helped her with that. But she had a few short years here again to influence her son in the ways of the Hebrews. And we read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, that when Moses got older, it says, Hebrews 11, verse 25 says, "Choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Moses' mother had instilled in him at that young age the values that God had for his people. It's God's plan that women have this wisdom. Mothers have this wisdom. And it's his plan for it to be passed on from generation to generation. And we see that happen here, and I'm thankful for that. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 say that, talking to older women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It's talking to aged women. If we would look at that scripture, and I don't believe we have any aged women here, but we have some older women that have some experience, and you can pass that experience on to the young moms. And I know that my wife has been a recipient of that, and we're thankful for that. Have something wrong, mothers can come together, put their minds together, and come up with a plan to help ease that problem, whatever it may be. So keep up the good work on that, passing that wisdom on to the young moms that we have. Number four, moms are to be honored and respected. Talk to us men a little bit here. I know this is Mother's Day. Maybe this would better fit in a Father's Day message, but we need to remember to honor and respect our mothers, not just today, but every day throughout the year. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And Ephesians 6, verse 2 references that commandment. It says, "Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with the promise. 1 Peter 3, 7 and 8 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous." So honoring our mothers, it's a little bit of a cycle. It's difficult for a boy to honor his mother if his dad doesn't honor his wife. We all come from different backgrounds, and we can overcome these disadvantages that we have. But we need to remember to honor our mothers and our wives. This comes much easier for us if we honor women in general, honor our sisters, our biological sisters, as well as our sisters in Christ, our mothers, our daughters, and of course our wives. Society lifts up women who dishonor themselves, but we need to give honor to our sisters who bring glory to God. There's lots of ways that we can do this, but I think there's simple ways we can start. Think about the fellowship meal that we have downstairs. Maybe this is a little bit of a bunny trail, but we need to let our sisters go first, I believe. Young men, let the girls go first. It's a way you can show honor to the female gender. It's small ways that we can cultivate respect for our sisters. Hold the door for them, whatever it is. As we think about mothers today, we're lifting up and honoring them, but we need to honor women in general. Of course, within the God-given headship order, let's honor our sisters and our wives and mothers. The fifth point I have is, mothers are given to us by God. It's true that God gave us to our mothers as a responsibility for them to love and to care for us. We are their property, but mothers were also given to us. God chose that Hope Bear would be my mother. I didn't choose that. I didn't choose who would give birth to me or who would raise me, but God in his omniscience placed me in her care. And I'm thankful for the godly mother that I have. And maybe some of you didn't have a godly mother. God still placed you where he did for a reason. It was for a reason that you were born to who you were born to. For us to wish to be born to someone else is to say that God made a mistake in where he placed us. Thank God for the mother that you had this morning, whether she was a godly woman or not. Thank God for the mother that you have. Because in one way or another, it's made you into who you are today. It has influenced you. And you can rise. You can either grow on that experience or you can be bitter because of it. Just thinking back across the few simple points that we have here this morning. Mothers are created in God's image. They give life. They give life to us. And thank you for all the things that you do give to us. You're a tremendous influence in our lives. Don't take that lightly. The story is told of a man who walked up to three masons who were working on a project, and he asked them what they were doing. And the first mason said, "I'm breaking stones into small pieces." The second mason said, "I'm earning $25 a day." And the third mason said, "I'm helping to build a cathedral." And I think it can give you encouragement as mothers. You think about what you're doing. Those meals that you're not sure what to make for supper, you're giving life to your children. You're giving them nourishment. And it's not just making another meal. It's you're providing life to them. You're providing, and it's also in the stories that you read to them. We talked about that a little bit. The little things that seem so mundane are all part of a big picture of shaping lives into who they are and who they will be. And like Hannah, preparing them for service to God's kingdom. Women, you've been given gifts, wisdom, and being able to comfort and to be a blessing to other people. And even if you don't have children, young ladies, you can use this gift that God has given you. A couple weeks ago, we were down at Providence, and there was a young lady that just came up and took one of my children for my wife so she could relax and visit a bit. What a blessing that was, just to step in there and use her gifts to lift another mother's load. That's something you young ladies can do. You've been given that gift. Use it. Men, let's honor and respect our mothers, our wives, our daughters, and sisters, and giving them the rightful place that God has placed them. Second and last of all, remember that our moms are given to us by God. We weren't just randomly placed where we were. God has a plan for each one of us. Mothers, today we want to thank you for all you do for us and our children. It's a never-ending task without much public recognition, but God gave you this responsibility. He also gave you gifts and strength to accomplish it. He also sees the sacrifices that you make, and he will reward you for it. God bless you today and in the days to come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day and for this day that our country sets aside to recognize our mothers in a special way. Lord, help us to honor our mothers not only today but in our lives. And just thank you for the godly mothers that we have here. And just pray that you bless each one of them for their gifts and sacrifices that they make to provide for us, whether it's washing our clothes or providing meals or the little things that seem so insignificant that shape us into who we are. Lord, just thank you for them. And just pray that you meet them a special blessing today, encouragement and strength for the tasks that they have. Lord, we just pray that you go with us today. Direct us as we go from this place. Help us to bring honor and glory to you. We just pray that the service today would have been pleasing to you and that you would receive all the honor and glory for it. We ask this in Jesus' name.